Hello and welcome to the Digital Health Leader Podcast, a Chime membership series where we bring you the best of the best in digital health leadership. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for this podcast and the CEO and President of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. It is my privilege to welcome you to our new Chime Trailblazer series, where we meet with and celebrate those digital health leaders who are forging new paths, coming up with new inspirational ideas, and shaping an industry for the better. These leaders across the industry have proven their talent and determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the moment and shape the future. We're proud to know those leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we welcome a distinguished Chime leader who has served our industry as the Chief Information and Digital Officer, a physician, for over 30 years. He's a visionary thinker, has accomplished history of driving positive change through technology in healthcare systems. He is currently serving Chime as our board chairman. And to top it off, he's one heck of an electronic music creator, even owning his own label. Please welcome Dr. Dan Nygren, Chief Information Officer at MaineHealth. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Thanks, Russ. And I'm not quite sure that you're a fan of the music.
You know, I have a few of them downloaded, and I will tell you when I need to get that super pumped workout at the gym, there are a few of her songs that get my heart racing before I even get on the elliptical. I will tell you that.
You know, Russ, some people have told me that it's good music to clean the house, too. So you're consistent with that expression.
Well, I mean, before I get into some of the questions about our industry, tell everybody a little bit about your past as a recording music entrepreneur. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, in college, I got really into DJing, first on the college radio station and then in some nightclubs in the area. And that in turn led me to become really good friends with another DJ. And one day we looked at one another and said, why don't we try our hand at making some of this sort of nightclub kind of dance music stuff. So we took a shot at it, bought some gear, didn't really know what we were doing, but somehow ended up with some songs that our friends told us were pretty good. And before you knew it, we had a release out on an independent label from overseas, and that led to another and another. And before long after that, we started our own record label to put our music out.
Now, the funniest story, we're going to end up doing this whole podcast about your music career, not about healthcare IT, but the funniest story I ever heard you tell is about your music being used in war.
Yeah.
Tell the story real quick.
Actually, it's got a Chime relationship. A CIO colleague here in Chime told me one day when I told the similar story to what I just said, and the band name, which was Glitch, he looked at me and he said, I know that band name, and he said, in fact, one of your songs was used in wartime because this was what the tanks or the military vehicles or whatever, as they were going into the war zone, they would blare out music sort of on their way into the city to attack or whatever they were doing. And one of our songs was one of those ones that they were blaring out of the speakers. It happened to be called Warpath. So it was consistent with that. And I had no idea.
Wow. So you put out weaponized music.
There you go.
There you go. Wow. Our just previous podcast we recorded a while ago was all our military leaders. We might have needed to combine you all together. Well, let's try to make the transition over here to a little health IT. I'm not sure how I'm going to make that leap, but we'll give it a try here. Maybe just all the chaos of war, we can make the chaos of healthcare. And that really is the reality. We're living in a period of time right now of amazing challenges. You don't want to paint a picture of doom and gloom, but there's a little bit of doom and gloom out there right now. Financial constraints, human capital shortages are out there, constant questions of quality versus value, all these kinds of things. And you've lived on both sides of the street. You've been a practicing physician. You've been a CIO. Now you have multiple titles, even trying to transform these organizations. You know, how do you think leaders can come out of their comfort zone to really help lead what we're trying to say now is not just a transformation, maybe truly the first time ever in the history of modern medicine, revolutionize the way we adopt and deliver care now?
It's an incredible time, first of all, Russ. I completely agree. In my career, which spans now, getting close to 30 years, I haven't seen a period of time like the one that we're in, and all of the things that you mentioned coming together at the same time. It's incredibly exciting to me because I do think we're at the juncture of a really important change in medicine overall, not just within health IT, but health IT figures large in some of those changes. For one, the technology is at the point now where it's got potentially a huge impact on the quality and the effectiveness of the care that we provide. And so I think, you know, these changes are starting to come fast and furious, and it's incumbent on us all to embrace that change, because whether we like it or not, it's happening. And we can work with it and put it to a good advantage, or it can happen to us if we're not careful. And so my best advice for folks is to embrace that change and don't be scared to experiment. You know, dip your toe into some of those AI waters and value-based care kinds of changes that are coming and tools with which to manage those. And I think that kind of fast iteration and experimentation is the way to gradually, you know, accommodate some of these changes that are happening in the industry.
Well, that probably brings up another great question here, and that's just this dilemma that we've always dealt with in our industry, which is the difference between speed and scale. You know, we can say, hey, let's make really fast changes, but people don't adopt well to that. Or we've made some change and it works, let's spend some time really figuring out how to scale this and get this through a whole enterprise, never mind through an entire industry. How do you balance those two dynamics where really now we need to move fast, but yet an industry doesn't like to scale?
Yeah, it really is a balancing act, Russ. I'm not sure there's a simple answer to the question. In general, I'd go back to what I just said. The experimentation approach is a good one to use, and one that I've used. You know, we pilot, we try things, and I don't go in with eyes closed. You have to go in, you know, fully aware that, okay, if this experiment, if this pilot that we're going to try is successful, we're probably going to want to scale it. We want to, you know, do it in a broader way across our organization. So maybe pick pilots, pick experiments and initiatives that you know will scale well. Don't necessarily put something out there that was built by a team of one on your IT team, which has got no support behind it, not a robust thing, because that's not gonna survive well if you try and roll it out across your entire organization. So go in with eyes open and make sure that should you have a successful sort of test run, if you will, that it's something that will be able to scale up to that broader rollout.
Well, maybe another thread to pull on that is in being a bit of an anomaly yourself. I mean, first and foremost, a physician who's now leading technology, information, and digital in an organization. Never mind, I'm not sure how that the crazy music part plays into this. We'll just say that makes you the super anomaly in all of this that's there. But as you can give advice to people, because most organizations don't have a physician IT leader at the top leading this change, and you can come in with a bit of pre-built credibility to talk to your peers, to the other physicians. I found it, leading a medical group prior to taking this job, other things, physicians are not averse to change. They just don't like to do change for change or for wasting their time. How do you really work with the clinical community, whether that's nursing, physicians, whatever, to really engage them in this change transformation revolutionary thought process to really drive the outcomes that we need in the end?
I think it's incredibly important to tell them the why, not just change for change sake. Include them in the thought process around why you're proposing to roll out this new pilot or initiative. Once physicians, clinicians of all types understand that and are given an opportunity to weigh in, essentially, and to guide the approach that you use, they're very happy to accept change. They just don't like when things are imposed on them with no discussion. And they just also don't like when there's no rationale behind it. So as long as the thought process is sound, and especially if it's something that, to your point, ultimately will help the patient, perhaps it'll help them in their professional practice, make them more efficient, eliminate steps in the care process. All of those things resonate incredibly strongly with clinician, clinical staff. And so I think just involve them early and often, and you'll be okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had a wise doctor once that said, if you can coin everything in terms of money, time, or outcomes for patients, generally you'll always come out okay. But if you can't tell a story for any one of those, don't have the conversation, because
exactly
you're
right.
going to lose every single time.
Exactly.
Wow. So let's think about this. You've seen a lot of change. You've seen a lot of change in whether it be pediatrics, your clinical background, or just in healthcare and delivery. But if we really are poised at that place of change, if we're at that catalyst point right now where we're going to see rapid and weird things occur in healthcare, maybe some cool, some things break, some things great, what do you think the craziness looks like for healthcare? And how do we lead that process as we go through that?
You know, Russ, one thing that I noticed the other day, and it's reflective of everything we've just been talking about in terms of, you know, where we're at within healthcare IT. The New England Journal of Medicine just announced that they were going to have a new sort of sub-journal, if you will. It's called New England Journal of Medicine AI. It's especially important for me and noteworthy for me because I noticed that the editor-in-chief is my former mentor who got me involved in informatics in the first place, a guy by the name of Zach Kohani. And so I think that tells you something, that, you know, we're at this incredible juncture, like we were talking before, where all of these new technologies are poised to change the way we practice medicine. You know, all the excitement about ChatGPT over the last few months is good indication, right? That will find its way into healthcare. We've got to do so cautiously, for sure. And I think that's why the New England Journal is taking note, too, because they don't want us rolling things out that are potentially going to harm patients. Obviously, they want to see the benefits, but we all need to make sure that we're doing this in a sort of responsible way. And so I think, you know, the next 5 years or so are going to be incredibly transformative with some of these new tools available to us.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting at how many things. I mean, who even heard of ChatGPT, make sure I'm saying it right, some cases just a few weeks or months ago. And today there were two primary stories on the news feeds today about this. And one of them was, you need to know this, it's going to rapidly change your life. I mean, it was that magnitude of article out there. And it's basically said, it doesn't matter what part of your life, it's going to touch it. Even down to ordering groceries or how you're educated or whatever the case may be. I just thought that was amazing. But I think it's going to be a testament to how many things are going to come out of nowhere that as brilliant leaders, as great strategic planners, and we're reading every single day, and out of nowhere, some new technology is just going to fly in and change our world. How do you incorporate that kind of mentality, you know, kind of a crazy Netflix, you know, Amazon Prime kind of thought process in an industry that kind of still acts like Blockbuster?
Yeah.
You know, how do those two things even going to exist together?
I think it's going to be interesting, to say the least. I think as IT leaders, it's going to force us, if we've not grown accustomed to it already, but to just become nimble. It is one of the silver linings of the pandemic, I think, is that we all learned lessons on how to do that within our organizations. We can move fast when you know, we need to. And we need to take those lessons learned as part of that and apply them in these situations, too, because it is going to be fast and furious from this point forward.
Wow. And so as we kind of shift back to this concept of just overall leadership, Dan, you've had some amazing life experiences. I mean, down to the point of now even finding out that your music was used in warfare. I mean, think about that. How many people can put that on their resume or LinkedIn profile? I mean, to really a unique place in life there, and your clinical career, and now literally driving mass change in huge health systems. What are some of those big leadership things you've learned? You know, whether that was the transition into full-time practice to, or transitioning out of practice into now all of a sudden being one of those evil administrators that everybody talked about for years in the clinical world. You know, what are those great big lessons that you think you've learned along the way?
Well, I think I'll mention two. The first is you need to keep your wits about you. Be cool. or stay cool, I guess. Be cool, if maybe you can also be cool, but stay cool. Because we're going to need that. Obviously, if you are unfortunately subject to a ransomware attack or have some, you know, unexpected outage in the middle of the night or unexpected, you know, a twist with a big go live, I think many of us have gotten accustomed to those things and we manage through them. But again, to this recurring theme in our discussion today, these changes are going to be coming even more quickly and more, and they're going to transform our care and our organizations in ways that we can't even imagine. So we're going to need to keep our wits about us and roll with the punches a little bit. So that's an incredibly important skill that I think we all need to continue to perfect. And an important one as leaders, because we need to help our organizations navigate these changes. The other one that's a little bit more generic for leadership in general is one actually Zach Kohani, who I mentioned before, told me early on in my career. And it was essentially, his quote was, "There are no giants out there." And what he meant by that was, don't ever feel that there's smarter people out there, you know, the CIOs from that bigger organization across town or the CEO or whomever. Your ideas are likely just as valid and just as important as those folks. Their skill sets are probably not significantly different than yours. So shoot high. You can do it. And you have to keep telling yourself sometimes, because you may not fully believe it, but it's an important lesson, especially for junior, more less experienced leaders as they're learning the ropes as they go along, to just remind themselves that they've got the capacity to do these big things that they see other folks do, and they're no different than you are. And I've kept that. That quote in my head all through the years, and it's actually served me pretty well.
So let's kind of finish up with some time with that role I mentioned as part of your introduction, being chairperson of Chime, a really rare opportunity. Just getting on the board of Chime is hard enough, eventually rising to that singular position of responsibility of leading the organization is a testament to your leadership skills. We're now in our 31st, soon to be going into our 32nd year later this year. But we've had a couple of people that have done multiple years along the way for different reasons, COVID, and the very first guy, Dr. John Glasser, all the way back then. But that makes you probably the 29th or 30th, we can't quite figure out for sure, person ever to have this job. I mean, that's pretty significant when you usually only get a one-year tenure. And so first of all, what does it mean to lead the organization? But more importantly, what does Chime mean to you? What does it mean to your career? Kind of what do you think it means to the industry?
Well, first, Russ, to your point, I feel incredibly privileged to be in this role and extremely thankful for the opportunity. I view Chime as my professional home. It was so instrumental to me, again, in my early years in learning how to be a CIO. And I remember vividly some of those first Chimes that I came to, fall forums, spring forums, and sitting and hearing from more senior folks who, at that point, they were the giants. I quickly came to know that they were just regular schmoes like me, just with a few more years under their belt. And it was incredibly helpful for me. So I think this knowledge sharing that we do so well in Chime and this educational aspect is critical and something that I want to continue to make sure we continue to do as Chime grows and tacks on decades to those 30 plus years. So I see Chime as playing that important convening role and educational role that we do so well. And the convening part is especially important too, because again, with the transformation that's occurring in healthcare, we need provider organizations to work arm in arm together with our foundation partners, because these technologies are the ones that they're going to help us implement. And in many ways, they're forming them together with our input on the provider side. And so having both groups together is incredibly fruitful. And again, one of the, I think, most important founding principles of Chime that I think is going to be key for us in the years to come.
Well, Dan, if your leadership testament isn't at the highest here in the fact that as chair, you're here at Vive with the number of people that are here and how much they care about this industry, it really is a testament to you, the leadership and the board that you're serving with right now. Thank you for all you do for our industry. Thank you for your service to Chime. It really is service. It's not just leadership, it's service. And we thank you for all you do. Most importantly, thank you for what you do for healthcare at a macro level.
Thank you, Russ. And right back at you, I'll say, because you've led this organization beautifully over the last many years and incredibly thankful to have you do that for us.
Thank you, Dan. Hey, thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of the Trailblazers series through the Chime Digital Health Leader podcast. You can visit our website at chimecentral.org/media or Spotify to listen again, or check out other podcasts of other great top healthcare leaders. Continue to innovate, transform, and create the positive change to advance and improve health and care throughout the communities we serve. Stay safe. God bless.